Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
La 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 la. Okay, cool. Sorry. Wait, good.
Yeah, don't cut that bit off. Can I have that, please?
Yeah, you can have it if you want.
A wise man once said, a wise person should have money in their head, but not in their heart. And that person was then subsequently arrested for stuffing money into people's heads. Welcome to The Gargle, the sonic glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a visual world. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's special edition of The Gargle are Josh Gondelman.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. And Alison Spittle, welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello. It is a pleasure to be here with this combination of people. Lovely.
We're going to have a look at our front cover, which this week is just a pile of money with a pair of feet coming out of it, but we're not sure who's just dived in Scrooge McDuck style. The mystery is on the inside. And the satirical cartoon this week is Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, and Elon Musk walking into a bar. And then there's a speech bubble from the bartender that says, "Oh my, the average net wealth of all 300 other people in this bar has suddenly become $800,000 each." This week's special collector's edition is a cryptocurrency edition. It's all about money, and mainly imaginary money. We'll start with a history of money as we flip into the magazine. The Mesopotamian shekel is the first known form of currency other than Dick. I'm pretty sure Dick picks for the first form of currency, because only consistent inflation for the last 5,000 years would explain how ubiquitous and how worthless they are now. Literally, the more dick pics you bring to the table, the less you can buy with them. I mean, think about it. How many dick pics would it take to buy a loaf of bread from you? Your bread shop, imagine it. Someone shows up with a wheelbarrow full of dick pics. How much bread do you give them? Something, something, self-raising flour.
I was genuinely trying to visualize being a baker, and I was like, 7. I think so.
At that point, it ceases to be currency and is almost a threat, right? It's just like, all right, take your dick and go home. Have the bread.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. The inherent problem of so much cryptocurrency right now is that there's not much you can spend these imaginary coins on other than black market drugs and Russian hitmen. So I'm interested to see what the future of money holds. So this is our cryptocurrency edition, and I just want to get from our two wonderful guest editors. Alison Spittle, what do you define cryptocurrency as?
What do I define cryptocurrency as? It's a type of currency that a man would talk to me about and then I would walk away from it. Sorry, cryptocurrency is... cryptocurrency, I think I've said this before in this podcast, but it is like the live, laugh, love for men. You know, investing in cryptocurrency. I feel it's a very like a masculine male vibe off it. And therefore, I've ignored it for a long time. But yeah, that's how I would describe cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
something that men talk about and I glaze over when I think about it. But it's imaginary money.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Josh Gondelman, how do you define cryptocurrency?
So this has changed over time for me, because cryptocurrency is kind of like a unique money that only some people can access and that others can't access, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's specific identity. So until I was like 31, to me that was any money.
Yeah.
But it is, it's kind of a technologically encoded currency that you just kind of have and it gains or loses value based on whims, and you don't spend it. It, to me, it's like the stock market. If, like, the Matrix had its own stock market, is what I feel like.
For me, I think cryptocurrency is the idea that money, real money nowadays, is so integrated with, like, corruptible systems of control and regulation that are within the fist mm-hmm. of an untitled few who own it all and won't share it out. And crypto converts are people who want that, but they're the ones in charge.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's like, what if we replicated our current financial system, but on your phone and with 11 guys from Reddit at the top?
I feel kind of bad about how I described cryptocurrency earlier. And I was just, it's just when I don't know enough about a subject, I just attack men en masse. And
you're not wrong, Alison Spittle. The problem is really the fact that Bitcoin has worked so well and has now, you know, accrued this kind of value was always a f***ing gamble. So while some of the people who have been made wealthy by Bitcoin were smart, forward-thinking tech heads who were really interested in the ways in which the technology could have potential for the future, most other people who bought Bitcoin were just people who'd been carpet-bagged by some tech bro podcaster high on hair growth supplements into throwing their mm-hmm. money into a badly understood black hole that just happened to work out for them, and now they think they're smart.
What we need is gender parity, right? We need to promote gender parity in cryptocurrency. So we need kind of like a lean in girl boss. Women can be as horrible as men.
Yes.
So I propose, and this might not be popular or politically correct, we have Bitchcoin, the cryptocurrency for CEOs.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's just like, for people who are like, I think women should be able to destroy the economy at the same level men do. That's what we need. So we need to kind of rebrand a cryptocurrency.
Yes, the queen. I am a girl boss, but the two last S's in boss are both dollar signs. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
It's like when you see those AK-47s that are like in pink camouflage and you're mm-hmm. like, good for them. Who did they make that for? You know?
Yes, 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 yes. Very NFL breast cancer awareness pink uniforms. It's like, okay, but what about a traumatic brain injury awareness?
No.
You know, recently Jake Paul came forward as a champion of female pay parity in boxing. And I just want to know if I see women punching each other in the face, that they're getting paid as much as men who punch each other in the face.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that does sound like it's the first step on his long game to getting to fight a woman, right? That's like, where he's like, hey, equal pay. And then it's like, well, if we're getting paid the same, we're doing the same job, let me hit a woman. I'm not saying that that's always true in athletics. I'm just saying that's Jake Paul's vibe.
Well, yeah, look, at least he's not like Floyd Mayweather, who wants them to do it for free.
Sure, recreationally. Yeah. That's true. At least equal pay. That's so bleak, Alice.
Well, I'm about to launch my cryptocurrency, which is called Punch Card. And it's every time you get punched in the face, you accrue value.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
But it's untaxable and untraceable. Now it's time for your second section, which is the historic money story. Josh Gondelman, you know about money and history. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a bit more?
Of course. So the best thing about money is getting stuff on sale. But the second best thing about money is obviously heists. Like, if you steal $50 from a random person on the street, I'm going to go, that's not very nice. They probably wanted that for pizza or an extra phone charger or something. But if you steal $500,000 from a bank, I'm like, that rules and you should get to keep it. I think that's the rule now. The biggest bank heist of all time was called the Dunbar Armored Robbery. Robbers stole $18.9 million from a bank in Los Angeles in 1997. And if you want to put that in today's terms, $18.9 million is enough to fund all 600 movies Nicolas Cage has made since 1997. The criminals got caught because one of them paid a real estate broker with a stack of cash bound with one of the original currency straps that traced them back to the scene of the crime. Although the broker's suspicion was probably aroused when they paid for a home in a stack of cash. That's like the third most suspicious way to pay for something. Number two, pulling the money out of a briefcase handcuffed to your wrist. And number one, loose fistful of bills caked with blood and cocaine. And I do think moving into the present, crypto solves this problem because it's a currency you can't really use to pay for anything. So you'll never get caught spending the money from a crypto heist. Honestly, it's ingenious.
That's a beautiful story and one that I very much enjoy. Alison, have you got an equally excellent historical piece of crypto / money history?
Well, this is a piece of Irish history. There's a guy called Sean Quinn who once was one of Ireland's richest men. And due to the financial downturn in the late 2010s, he brought down a whole bank, Alice, right? But he brought down a whole bank. But they say, right, around where he is from, his village, they say that his whole downfall was due to a fairy's revenge. Right, he built that. I believe it. He built a hotel in his local town, and he had to. There was a megalithic tomb in the middle of this field that he was going to build his hotel on, and the locals warned him: "Do not move that. Do not touch that, Sean. You know, you may be able to bring a whole cement factory and a whole economy to this town, but you can't mess with the fairies." So he moved the megalithic tomb to make way for his luxury hotel, and. And it's like the plot of a Disney film, right? And then people are convinced that the whole late 2000s financial downturn is due to Sean Quinn pissing off those fairies. And I believe them. I believe them because wow. I once tried to film a documentary around a fairy fort. And all of the equipment turned off. Like, I do believe in that stuff. You know, once my friend pissed on a fairy fort by accident and she was like bereft. Like, she just thought it was a field. But a fairy fort is like, it's a normal Irish field, but it has like stones in like a circle. So if it looks like it's too nice to piss in, don't piss in it. That's my number one rule of going to Ireland.
That's my rule most places.
I mean, what's the mythology then? If you piss in a fairy fort, does your piss come back like 100 years later, but it hasn't aged a day? But it comes back a day later and it has aged 100 years. Like, ooh. Which way around?
I think the mythology is that the fairies are quite like you know there's been like some trouble in Ireland generally. There's been a few wars. The first big war was between humans and fairies, and they decided that they were gonna split Ireland in two. And the humans thought they were being clever by saying, we'll have above ground and you can have below ground. Mm-hmm. And then the fairies got pissed that they had got into this deal. And now they are getting revenge by destroying whole economies in Ireland. And especially, I think like 4.7 billion for moving a megalithic tomb is a bad deal.
And the Brits thought they were so original with their idea of splitting Ireland in two.
I know!
This is such an... I don't mean this offensively. I'm dazzled by this story. It's such like a wonderful, mythic Irish story. Like, I wish in the States we had stuff like that, where our financial collapses are just like a bunch of banks gave out subprime mortgage loans. Like, I wish it were fairies.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of funny because like I get weirdly offended like by when Murder She Wrote does an Irish special and I'm mm-hmm. like, that's not our country at all. And then I'm going, fairies brought the financial crisis, mm-hmm. you know? I can't have it both ways, Josh. I can't. I try, but yeah.
You deserve it both ways.
I know. It's like I do.
That is all the time we have for our history of money section, because time is money, and now it's time for your ads. Your ad section now, because open brackets, insert your own joke about capitalism here, or email me for premium access to this punchline, close brackets. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by cryptocurrency investment advice. For those of you planning to use your imaginary money to buy a super yacht, remember, as of the time of this broadcast, 14.9 super yachts will buy you one Bitcoin or 8,400 Doge coins, which is the equivalent of one whole episode of The Gargle. Earlier this year, Sotheby's has decided to sell some NFTs, lending them legitimacy just as everyone else decided they were garbage. They teamed up with an anonymous artist called Pack. Buyers were able to purchase as many copies as they wanted of a Pack work, which featured a single silvery geometric cube for $500 each. Now, on sale, the tears each purchaser spent on realizing they had just wasted $500 on an imaginary piece of boring art. Like, it could have been anything. Literally, it's imaginary. The sky's the limit. The limit is your imagination, and you imagined a f***ing cube. All of those tears add up to about half a glass of water.
I didn't think we'd get it for a second time, but I was like, yes.
This is our current money section. Things people are doing with cryptocurrency right now. Alison Spittle, what are people doing with cryptocurrency right now that is spinning your dial?
What I want to talk to you about is now, you know the way we watched the Olympics earlier this year and there was a 12-year-old girl that could skateboard and it made us reassess our life and like mm-hmm. what we've done. There's a kid who's made, wait there until I check because I want to get the, wait there. There's a kid, he's a 12-year-old from London. His name's Benjamin Ahmed. He's made £290,000 during his school holidays off NFTs. So he's made these things called weird whales, which is like... He's made these little pictures and there's whales in different situations. They're very pixelated. I'll be honest with you, Alice. I've seen them. They're not worth 290,000 quid. I'm sorry, Benjamin. Like, I'm happy for you. But also, no, I don't understand who is buying these weird whales. But yeah, he's made 290,000 quid in his school holidays. When I was a kid, genuinely, it was my first business. I was told by my mum that I was very good at massage. And I had a massage business when I was 11 years old. I used to massage my friend's dad. Like, it was perfectly fine. It was over the t-shirt and like it was in a room with about 600 people. So I, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I have to go to a psychiatrist about, but not that. That is perfectly fine. But yeah, so this kid is making NFTs. I used to massage people. You know, we all got to hustle in our own way. And I love it because as well, I think he's like, he's aware. He's very self-aware as a kid. He's going, you know, not everyone could do NFTs. And of course, my father has been teaching me how to code since I was a young kid. So I've got a lot of advice off other people that are involved in NFTs. So I believe this kid like has fully kind of got and seen what's happened before. And it's decided not to get burned with it. It's a great story. Good luck for you, Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. And Josh Gondelman, what are people doing with cryptocurrency that's making you excited right now?
Oh gosh, well, first of all, I think that's a wonderful story. I think I would pay 200 whatever thousand dollars for a child's art just because it comes in a way you don't have to put on your refrigerator, right? Like an NFT, yeah. you can't just display like that and it's worth the money because it's like, yeah, oh yeah, your ugly whales are they're on the blockchain. Why? Of course, that's why we're not putting them up on the wall.
Oh my God, Josh, this is genius. I am going mm-hmm. to do this to my child when they bring home a piece of art. I'll say, this is so good, I'm going to buy an NFT
of
it.
I'm going to make an NFT of it. And then I'll
stick it in the bin and keep the NFT forever.
That's the new wave of parenting.
Don't get me wrong. I love the idea of NFTs. It's potentially incredible technology with implications for copyright and for the future and for the economy. But so many of the uses of it are so fucking dumb. It is genuinely beyond the capacity of the human mind to encompass how dumb they are.
Well, that is a perfect transition into the story that I'd like to talk about. Because the original Doge meme, right, the Shiba Inu that looks kind of confused and there's text around it, that meme, an NFT of that meme sold for $4 million. But the good news is you don't have to care. The other good news is that you can buy a fraction of a stake in the original meme for less than a dollar. So finally, for less than $1, you can get nothing. We've now figured out how to divide by zero. This is a mathematical blockbuster, is what this is. And you don't even have to buy NFTs. That's what's great about them, right? They exist and people are spending all this money, but you don't have to buy them. I just tell people I own NFTs and it's not impressive, but it does end a lot of awkward conversations where people go, what have you been doing? I go, I've been getting really into spending all my money on blockchain art. And they go, no further questions. Paying for NFTs is such rich person shit. That's what gets me. It's like, hey, I spent $4 million on the idea of a thing that isn't good, but was already free. I'm all in.
Well, I desperately want to break into the abstract NFT market and find out really if the look on his face really was priceless.
Well, abstract NFTs are perfect because I think the concept isn't just abstract art made as an NFT. It's just abstract coding, right? So just lines of code that don't actually make sense. But it's about the feeling and the impression they give you. I would want that as an NFT.
Yeah. How much would you pay to imagine that you own the idea of hope?
Gosh, how much would I pay for hope? I don't know. How much do antidepressants cost?
How many dick pics can I get with hope? Like, that's what I want to know.
Similarly, every dick pic you see that you don't ask for, you lose a little hope.
So sorry to cut things short, but Josh and Allison brought so much crypto goodness to this recording that we've had to split it in two. And of course, splitting it in two makes it even stronger, like homeopathy. So come back and join us next week for reviews, crypto utopias, and crypto scams. Thank you for listening to part one of this cryptocurrency collector's edition of The Gargle. I'm Alice Fraser. Find me online at alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's alliterative. Or support me on Patreon at patreon.com/AliceFraser. That's a one-stop shop for all of my stand-up specials, podcasts, blogs, and my weekly Tea with Alice salons. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. And I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, The Last Post, Tiny Revolutions, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.